Hello and welcome to Bowery Poetry Speaks, an audio series of talks and performances from our special Bowery perspective. At Bowery, we start every event with an honor native land statement. We would like to acknowledge that Bowery Poetry Club rests on the traditional lands and waters of the Lenape people, and we give respect to the Lenape and their elders past, present, and future by speaking in the Lenape language, Anushik, which means thank you and welcome. Anushik.
In this episode, host Anton Yakovlev speaks with Russian poet and film director Tatiana Danilyans.
Thank you, Tatiana. Thank you for taking the time to speak with us. Perhaps you can start by telling us what being an artist means to you and how you make writing and visual arts work together in your overall vision of yourself as a creative individual.
Hello, Anton. It's a nice question. Being an artist for me means to transform life into the form of poetry or form of film or whatever form. Also, it's about meanings, about listening, looking at time, our time in which we live, and about transformation of this time into the form most natural for you. Of course, you can be also passionate about transformation of past or future into a form which are relevant to you.
Can you talk a bit about your poetry? How did you get your start? Who were your primary influences? And have your influences changed over time?
In retrospect, I started to write poetry a long time ago, like 35 years ago, when I was a teenager. And my first public performance was in 1991, right after Perestroika. So it's already exactly 30 years ago. I think it's important to mention that I'm from the generation of 90s. It's a special generation in Russia that grew up and formed the border of very different eras. USSR, an era of free market and perestroika. And of course, it's influenced us significantly, not only in social way, but also in cultural way, in what we read and what we perceived that time. And that's a long conversation, but to make it short, I also want to mention that we should not forget, living in 2021, that we are facing the choice to understand in what century we are living in, 21st century. Because of understanding, or the understanding of this difference might bring us very new ideas and new impulses. And I think this is gorgeous.
What were some turning points in the evolution of your poetry?
Well, it's again, in retrospect, I would say that two things happened with me when I was a young poet. It was in the 90s. First, familiarity with poetry of important poets of my time, senior poets like Zorza Brodsky or Olga Sidakova or Gennady Aigi. And by the way, by fortune, I met all of them in person and had a conversation, including Brodsky, who I met in Venice. But with Gennady Aigi, who I would call as the most significant avant-garde poet of 20th century in Russian language, I was lucky to meet him first time. In 1993, he lived in suburb near Moscow in Rabochiy Poselok. And from this moment till his death in winter 2006, we kept our friendship, we kept in touch, and it always been very friendly and professional connection through more than 10 years. Another turning point, as you said, was for me participation in annual festival of free verse, El Verso Libero, since the beginning. I would say it was one of the first festivals which was organized by private initiative, not driven by government. And again, I'm very happy that in the 90s I became 2 times winner of this festival. It was a big honor because the jury of this time been significant poets, very important figures for Russian and international literature like Vsevolod Nekrasov or Vladimir Burich or Gennady Aigi or Arvo Metz. And because I mentioned these names and also I mentioned Gennady Aigi, I would really like to read the poems I wrote to him in the middle of 90s. Геннадию Айги. Белый-белый, белее, чем снег, белее, чем свет расцветающий. Белый снег за окном, сквозь пронзая меня. Белый снег, белый свет. Зачаруюсь белым, белым на белом, белизною твоего, твоего мира. Следом ног голубиных, алым трилистником, на белом, на белизне. Белая тишина света. Зачаруюсь белым на белом, лицом ли, нет лица в белизне. Голубиных ли крыл взмахом запоминаю света неисповедимого свет. Белым на белом, скажу так, что слова протекут чистой водой по гортани. Белое на белом, да будет. Но белое на белом, так и скажу, и посмею. Белое на белом. So I would like you, Anton, to read this in English, if possible, in good translation of American poet and translator Catherine Young, with whom I work last 15 years, and she was translator for dozens of my poems.
So this is a translation by Catherine Young. For Gennady Aigi. White, white. Whiter than snow. Whiter than light blossoming. White snow in the window. Piercing through me. White snow. White snow. White light. I'm bewitched by white. By white on white. By the whiteness of you. Of your world, by the footprint of pigeons, their scarlet trefoil on white, on whiteness. White, the silence of light. I'm bewitched by white on white, whether by a face, there are no faces in whiteness, or the flap of pigeons' wings, I recall the light. Of inscrutable light. By white on white. I say it so, the words flow, clear water through the larynx. Let there be white on white. Yes, white on white. So I say, so I dare. White on white. So my next question is, can you think of any points in your life where your poetic style changed in some way? What were the reasons for those changes?
First of all, thanks for your reading. Very nice. Speaking about, for poet, it's always difficult to somehow reflect the movement of his style and changes. But I will try. I would say that I gradually rejected rhyme and regular syllabotonic meter. And my participation in this festival I mentioned before and communication with elder poets somehow had an influence on my choice toward less metrical poetry. And by chance, later on, when I performed internationally in Europe, in Italy, or Balkan countries, I discovered a world of contemporary European poetry without rhyme. And a friend of mine, theatrical director Viktor Mirzaev, said that the most progressive society doesn't need rhyme in poetry. Poetry is a symbol of freedom. Poetry without rhyme is a symbol of freedom. And for me, somehow, I think it appeals to me very much. So maybe you can read another poem from my book, from my cycle, Four Hearts. Macedonia, Serbia, Venezia, Armenia, and this specific poem devoted to Macedonia, nice, amazing country in Balkan.
Absolutely. So this translation is a poem from the book Four Hearts, Serca Četyroch, from the section on Macedonia. And the word that is used in the poem, Haide, means let's go. Haide is a roar. Haide is the gold of the ancient world, greater than trees, which are greater than human life, greater than every individual life. Haide. It's greater than the view from a window on the lake of life, the lake of roar, lake Haide. And this next translation is of a poem called Radio Silence. Let's stay in this place. not having said too much. Too many words whistled like bullets, piercing with silence. Let's stay here. We'll be more than all of this together. More than a Lake Haida, listening in the silence.
Thank you.
So, I'd like to ask you, to what school of poetry, if any, do your poems pertain, in your own opinion? Do you consider yourself writing in any kind of poetry school, any kind of direction?
I guess my roots, my style, my way to feel meanings and words started from minimalism. We know John Cage, Gennady Agi, you know, minimalistic painting. So this phenomenon exists everywhere in each genre. This is a conscious rejection of using too many words. To be precise, poetically expressing your ideas or conditions is very important for me. By the way, philologist Yuri Arlitsky, who organizes Festival of Free Verse in Moscow, I mentioned before, he emphasized this particular characteristic of my style in his afterword to my book Whiteness, which was published in 2006 in Moscow in publishing house AGI. Well, I can just trust this professional observation. And also I feel like for me, it's very natural to express things very precise. I believe that poetry should be suggestive, but at the same time, you can thin out the space of the poem if it's necessary. And I think it's wonderful that you can play the space and time inside of one short poem. It's amazing. The special sparseness you can taste in new avant-garde poetry, like poetry or Igor Holin or Vsevolod Nekrasov, for example.
So at this time, I'll read a couple more poems, also translated by Catherine Young.
So this is an example of very minimalistic poems.
The first one. My soul sways on its stalk. Strong wind. Here's the second poem. How does one say I love? At first, no one knows. One must decide. So, in your opinion, what makes a successful poem? What are the elements of a poem that you find are essential for the poem to be worthwhile, either in your work or in the poems that you read, or both?
I think that a successful poem has two factors. The first, an important idea, big idea, observation, let's say message, and the sort of perfectness, optimum of its form. And the combination of these two things give you the sense of successful poem.
So I'd like to move on now to talk a little bit about your work as a filmmaker. Can you say a few things about your career as a filmmaker, a film director? How did you start making films? What were your primary inspirations and how did your filmmaking evolve over the years?
Well, I became film director suddenly and irrevocably. I really didn't plan this years in advance. This happened by chance and by fortune, whatever you call this. And my mentors were two famous European film directors, Oscar winner Andrzej Wajda and his younger colleague and friend Krzysztof Zanussi, half Polish, half Italian. And I studied in Poland. And although I was educated as a feature film director over the last 15 years, I've done mostly documentary, but I still hope to return back one day to feature film career. As in my poetry, I try to catch the maximum of reality. In film, I always create, well, maybe it sounds a little bit theoretical, but I also try to create a structural network, a space-time, in which I place my stories and characters, although it's a documentary.
You made two documentaries about Venice, which delve into its rich history and into the experience of living there. What does Venice mean to you? What were your primary aesthetic goals for those films about the city?
Well, I start from the beginning. Sometimes I say that I think in scale of cities. The city is the most complete and, to me, reasonable unit of human existence. The most exciting for me. My intention is to find a big idea that can describe the city to the maximum, making film. I understand that sounds a little bit abstract, so I will try to explain what I mean. For example, Venice, which is one of the most touristic cities in the world. We like to see the city somehow beyond the touristic point of view. So I created the concept of hidden garden, which will tell the story about real Venetians for whom this city is not touristic, and this is their natural native environment, and who really so much love Venice. And this is how a film has appeared. And title is Hidden Garden. It's just one small example. So behind any film, documentary, feature film, should be a big idea. And you should feel this, you should discover this by the years, by the inspiration, and so on. And about Venice is this unique dot, unique place, unique, I don't know, concentration of sensitivity and preciseness. Some people thinking that Venetians, Italians are very disordered and punctual, but this is not true. If you listen to Venetian conversation of Venetians, you will very often hear the word raffinatezza. Raffinatezza means sensitivity, raffination. And I really like this. And you can feel and see this everywhere in the city. And to me, this is exciting.
Yeah, refinement, I guess. Yeah, very interesting.
Speaking more about my Venetian experience as a poet, I was very lucky because in 2007, in Venetian publishing house Editoria Universitaria Venezia, released my bilingual book, Venetian, in translation of Sergio Leone. But this is not film director. This is professor of Ca' Foscari University in Venice, and Olga Strada. And we presented this book in Piazza San Marco and in a very special bookstore, which calls Acqua Alta. It means high water. And just 2 years ago, in 2019, in our my book released in River Embrace. And there is a special chapter we read from this book, The Heart of Four, Serbia, Macedonia, Venice, Armenia. And there is a special cycle devoted to Venice. And maybe you will be so kind to read this in English, in translation of Catherine Young.
Absolutely. So still from the book, Heart, Four Hearts. Let's stay by this river. Let's stand by this river. By this happy stream. By this sailing stream. By this intricate scene. Listen. Word bowers. Word bolts. Our dabs of happiness. All of that was. All of that is. And will be. With us. And one more poem. We went right up to the edge of the river. We went right up to the edge of the river. We went right up to the edge of the feelings. Closer was impossible. Welcome, emptiness. We went right up to the edge. Our lives shone in a ray, in a flame of impossible light. In your recent documentary, Six Musicians and the City, paints an extremely affecting and profound picture of Yerevan, another city with which you have a deep personal and cultural connection, and centers on several prominent musicians who live and work in the city. I'm especially curious if the actual experience of working on the documentary result of discovering something new about Armenian culture and Armenian music.
It's a long, long journey because I came, I never been connected with Armenia the most of my life. But once I came there 15 years ago, and since that I am so charmed by the city and the people. And Six Musicians in the City I created over many years. And this is a long process of research brought to this film, depth and color, I think, creating this special part of the city. And the mentality of people, culture, and style, and of course, music. So let me phrase this way, because it's really, I can speak about my connection with Armenia and how did I produce this film for hours. So let me make this short.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So can you talk about your connection to the great filmmaker Sergei Parajanov? What is Parajanov's role in your life and in your creative work?
Well, first of all, I want to remind the public who is Sergei Parajanov, because I'm not sure that many people know who he is. So Sergei Parajanov is a Russian, Armenian, Soviet, Georgian, Ukrainian film director and artist. Why do I mention so many places, locations? Because he was really connected with many countries and cities. Originally, he was born in Tbilisi, Georgia. Then he worked in Ukraine and he studied in Moscow. He was married to Ukrainian lady. Then he made film in Azerbaijan and so on. That was really a worldwide person. And the Italian and French colleagues of him really regard himself as a star, including Fellini, Marcello Mastroianni, Tonino Guerra, and other great names of 20th century. Speaking about my personal experience, once I was in Armenia, and it was in the Museum of Sergei Parajanov. We call him Sergei Osifovich Parajanov. And it was quite a difficult moment of my life, and I was trying to find balance. And in this wonderful museum, I found a small book of Parajanov's letter from the prison, because he was a prisoner several times in his not very long life. And reading his letters, I felt such force and creative power from his voice that I decided to create an imaginary house for Sergei Parajanov in Venice, connecting this amazing individual and this amazing city. Later on, then I started to do research on Parajanov in Venice. I discovered many fantastic links and parallels, which I didn't know before. This is how and why my art project, The Gifts of Venice to Sergei Parajanov, appeared and is being exhibited in 4 state museums in Armenia, Georgia, and Russia. And the last location was, of course, in Venice, in Gallery Venice in Bottle. So I believe that Sergei Parajanov is about creative power, creative spirit that can't be stopped, never. And for me, this concept is very important. You can't stop the beauty.
Speaking more about the visual arts and the exhibition, like, what were some of the themes of some of the series of artworks that you have done and exhibitions that you have produced over the years?
I will try again to make this very short because it's a long story. I will answer you through materials I used as an artist and themes I used as an artist. So when I was very young, I painted and I planned to study art. Later, I concentrated on photography and became a member of Professional Union of Art Photographers in Moscow in my early 20s. Then I lived in Venice and I started to be very interested in glass production at Murano Island, the center of glass production in Europe. After my work, my experience with glass, several projects appeared, like Anima Russa, Russian Soul, and The Gifts of Venice to Sergei Parajanov. And by the way, some of my objects were exhibited in US, recently in Russian Museum Minneapolis, where there is a big collection of Russian art that was just before the pandemic. And the most of my work in US are in a wonderful, fantastic collection of Tatiana and Natasha Kaladze based in New York. So to make this short, let me summarize this way. My favorite materials and themes are photo, video, glass, people, feelings, light. I think our conversation is almost over. We spend our time. And I would like to read in Russian, to finalize our conversation, I would like to read the poetry, this book of hearts, Терца четырех, Сербия. Бессонный разговор, заклинание, эпиграф. Talk to me like lovers do, Аня Ленокс. Поговори со мной на языке птиц, на языке сна, на языке забвения, на языке забытого языка, на языке пергамента и Карфагена. Поговори со мной на языке сверчка, во мраке неразличимого. Стань для меня хлебом, вином, водой, чечевицей, порохом, огнем. Стань для меня кожей земной, кожей, кровью, костью, преображение, плотью для перевоплощения. Поговори со мной, стань моим источником света. So, could you read this in English, Anton?
Sleepless conversation, incantation, epigraph. Talk to me like lovers do. Annie Lennox. Talk to me in the language of birds, in the language of sleep, in the language of forgetfulness, in the language of a forgotten tongue, in the language of a parchment from Carthage. Talk to me in the language of a cricket, in the indistinct darkness. Be bread, wine, water for me. Lentils, gunpowder, fire. Be for me the skin of the earth, the skin, blood, bone of conversion. Be the flesh of transformation. Talk to me. Talk to me. Be my source of light.
Thank you very much, Anton.
Thank you so much, Tatiana. Thank you for this conversation. Thank you for talking to us today.
Very pleased to be on radio in such a great company, and it's a great pleasure and honor for me to be in this radio, because radio is, especially literally radio, is such a treasure for us these days. So I wish all the best to people who create this radio, who work here. Thank you very much, Anton, for creating such a great questions, which helped me to dig deep into myself, and for reading my poetry.
This has been Russian poet and film director Tatiana Danielyans in conversation with host Anton Yakovlev. You've been listening to Bowery Poetry Speaks, an audio series of talks and performances with that special Bowery perspective. This series is executive produced by Traffica Europe Radio. Thanks for listening.